Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Don Banks from SI.com. Don, a recent piece you wrote about Browns owner Jimmy Haslam under the heading NFL Watching But Not Expecting to Strip Haslam of Browns Ownership. This column that you wrote, I thought, was a balance, or at least showed some balance to previous pieces that had come out suggesting the opposite on a national basis, some web stories and web columns that had addressed the federal investigation into Haslam's pilot Flying J company and saying that it could lead to him having the Browns stripped of him. But this story that you wrote, quoting some league sources, said the opposite. So just want to give you a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, well, Vic, what I was setting out to do was just to try to take a temperature reading. I, frankly, with the one-day owners meetings in Boston on Tuesday, in kind of a preview of that, I wanted to get a sense for what was the league's internal view of Jimmy Haslam's legal issue. How concerned are they about it? Do they see, the possibility of kind of a worst-case scenario unfolding? And from the people I talked to, it's clear that they're watching this case closely. It's clear that they see the potential, for charges and for a federal case being made against this diesel rebate fraud. But I did not get the sense that the league feels it rises to the level that it could imperil his ownership in Cleveland. And basically what I wanted to find out was not so much is the league trying to play, judge on this case, but whether or not their level of worry and concern really rises to a worst case scenario.
And it was interesting too, Don, in the course of your piece, you point out some of the precedent that was here regarding owners who have been in maybe a circumstance where that have been in a circumstance where there have been criminal investigations and so forth. And Eddie DeBartolo, when he owned the San Francisco 49ers, turning that ownership of the team over to his sister, and I guess actually it was his sister's husband too, Dr. York, after the situation that occurred with him down in Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, that is the precedent that I think everybody who covers the league and everybody within the league kind of quickly went to. Where the league draws a pretty clear distinction is they obviously, Eddie DeBartolo Jr. in 1998 was indicted for a criminal personal activity, and that is that he was trying to bribe former Governor Edwards of Louisiana in regards to a casino license in Louisiana. And the league kind of sees that as one level. Now, the Haslam issue is really a corporate accusation of wrongdoing, not so much a personal criminal accusation. And I think the league feels a little bit better looking at the situation with that clear distinction being made. I don't think anybody in the New York office is taking the issue lightly, but I do think the DeBartolo situation offers some precedent in that if charges are filed and if a conviction would be won, I think the league is pretty clear that they think Jimmy Haslam would probably step away from direct sole ownership for a time, probably try to transfer control of the team to a family member. I was told, it could be one of the two daughters. It could even be his 82-year-old father. But, they see a format that the Haslam family would not have to, totally divest itself of the Browns, even in the worst-case scenario of charges and a conviction.
Don Banks from SI.com joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Don, you mentioned those meetings on Tuesday, the one-day meeting of the NFL owners in Boston. and a topic among a couple of key topics. Yes, the awarding of Super Bowls in Northern California for Super Bowl 50 to San Francisco and then Super Bowl 51 to Houston. But I think the thing that really caught a lot of attention is the moving of the draft for next year to May because of a scheduling conflict at Radio City Music Hall, which has been the regular home of the draft in New York.
Well, Vic, for 2014, it's pretty clear-cut, as the commissioner made known in his post-meeting press briefing. It's either going to be on the dates of May 8th through 10th or the 15th through the 17th of May next year. Now, the question is whether or not it will ever return to April. There's going to be some, I think, major pushback on this from football operations people, i.e., people who actually, you know, work the off season for clubs. I talked to a number of club officials yesterday who they can't find anything about this that they like. That doesn't mean that the league is truly going to accede to their wishes, but I do think there's going to be a bit of a tussle over this. But it's also, the bigger picture here is, it's also clear, Vic, that the league is looking for ways to, as it puts it, adjust its off-season schedule. And one of the major ways I think that they want to go is to put the draft into May, which is a sweeps month for TV ratings. It's also a month that is kind of devoid of any major event for the on the NFL off-season calendar. They want to spread out these events, the combine, the free agency, owners meetings, and the draft as much as possible to create almost a hot stove league. As if the NFL is not enough of an off-season topic, they want to, in essence, kind of play their cards one at a time. So they're talking on the front end with the players' union about possibly starting free agency in the league year ahead of the combine for a change. And then on the back end, it's pretty clear, and it's up to the commissioner's discretion, he can move the draft. I'd be very surprised at this point if the draft moved back into April. I think we're looking at probably mid-May next year, and then they're talking, Stephen Jones on the competition committee, the vice president of the Cowboys, told me they're probably talking, trying to make it an annual first week of May event.
The pushback you talk about, though, I am hearing rumblings about that. A friend who is coaching on a team other than the Browns, happened to talk with him yesterday, and he said, with a May draft, of course the calendar pops up in his head that then you're going to have some kind of off-season workouts that involve mini camps or something that involve the players you've drafted and the undrafted rookies and so forth. And he said basically whatever vacation time coaches grab is so valuable in this offseason, just to grab this because you're doing this full 7 day a week grind once you're into training camp. And is that the crux of the pushback that you're hearing as well?
Well, that's part of it. Frankly, the people that talk to me always prefaced it and said, look, I don't think the league cares about our vacation time or our downtime. We all care about our own vacation time a little bit more than anybody else does. Right. But that is a legitimate issue. I mean, already the off season has grown so, exponentially that it's really only the end of June and the first couple weeks of July that is a legitimate window of true quiet time in the NFL. And I think, teams look at this innovation that the league is proposing and they say that's either going to cost us a rookie mini camp or, frankly, it's going to push everything back. Some clubs are starting work on next year's draft next week. I had one club official say, under this new format, that's now going to get pushed into June. And so into early June and mid-June, we're going to be grinding. And it's the time off window. It's obviously less time to work with the rookie incoming class, which coaches and GMs and player personnel people are never going to be in favor of that. They want to have their hands on their players and indoctrinate them. And they also look at it and say, you know, this is just going to lengthen a draft analysis preparation period that is already, in the eyes of many, way too long and leads to, frankly, paralysis by analysis and leads to overthinking things. So I think football people would like to see the draft prep season get shorter, and instead it's going to get longer.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And like you said, the league may consider a lot of things. One's vacation time is probably not among them when it comes to coaches.
Absolutely
or personnel
not.
People or front office people. Yeah,
yeah, it's crocodile tears if they even shed them. So I think that's an issue that we can commiserate with our covering this league.
We can
commiserate with the coaches and personnel people in this league, but I don't think the league cares a lot about it.
Don, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care, Vic. Yes, he is Don Banks from SI.com, and he joins us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.